Welcome to the I Am African podcast, where excellence isn't just inspired, but demanded. I believe in asking the difficult questions, starting the uncomfortable conversations, proposing outside-the-box solutions, and of course, shaking tables. No, breaking tables, all while being African. I am your host, Vera Ezimora. Hi, sweet potatoes. We are on to number 11. What a great day. So, before we go into the episode, into the conversation I had today with our guest, of course, I want to pop in here real quick, say how you doing, how was your weekend, how are you faring generally with this COVID-19 and life. In Maryland, the governor kind of reduced the stay-at-home orders to become what? Stay home safely, something like that. Anyways, we here are continuing to go out only when needed. But it's nice that at least some businesses can kind of open. That's nice. So, as usual, I will give a shout out to two cities. This week, I have Bethany, Oregon, and Ikeja, Lagos, Nigeria. The more I do this shout out, the more confused I become about what cities I previously mentioned and which ones I didn't. And that's because I basically look at the listener locations and I'm looking at the whichever two at the top I have not mentioned yet. But it changes every week. So a city I may have already mentioned might next week become like the number 5. And then in 2 weeks time, go back up to number 1. And then when I'm looking at it, I'm like, did I already mention this? Anyway, real quick, I want to remind you guys of our Facebook group. It's active. It's popping. I mean, come on. If you just search for I Am African on Facebook, you should find us. It's a group, it's a closed group, but if you fill the thing out, you should be automatically approved. That's the way I set it up. Alternatively, you could just click the link in the show notes. That would take you right to the group. Also, if you haven't, which I know most of you haven't, because we have only 4. Left me a review on Apple Podcasts. Please, please, please. I'm not ashamed to beg. I am begging. I am pleading on my knees. Please leave me a review. It helps the show a lot. It gives it legs to stand on. It gives it credibility that there are humans listening and these humans like this show. So we should keep going. That's basically what it means. It lets the people of Apple Podcasts know that we is important. Okay. We is important. Thank you so much in advance. Thank you very much. Now, let me tell you a little bit about this episode. 2 weeks ago, or let me say between last week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, sometime in the past 3 weeks, let me say, there's a lady, Olabisi, on Facebook. She's very vocal. I believe I've mentioned her before. So she started a series on her Facebook wall, basically sharing women's stories called Divorce Not Stigma. And the reason why it's for women and not men is because we bear the brunt of divorce, you know, like the stigma associated with divorce. We bear the brunt of it. So that's why the series is for women and not men. So anyway, one of the people, I did share my story, and one of the other people who did is Mercedes, today's guest, Mercedes Okukogo. She is a 6 feet tall woman. She's beautiful. She's 42. She lives in Nigeria. And she left, after I read her story, I left her a comment, and I liked her just from reading her story, because the sense I got from her was that she was a person who had experienced this thing in her life, but she had moved on. Like, she wasn't bitter. She wasn't hanging on to it or holding on to it. Not, by the way, that's not to say that if a woman is bitter after divorce, that she has no reason to. Anybody can be bitter after divorce, and they have every reason to. But I'm just saying what drew me to Mercedes. So I really liked that about her. And of course, I'd seen her picture and I was like, oh, she's gorgeous. But I, other than that, okay, cool. I moved on. But then I received a message in my Facebook messenger from a sweet potato who also happened to be a mutual friend of Mercedes. And he sent me a message and he's like, girl, you got to do a podcast with Mercedes. And I guess he sent the same message to Mercedes. So she added me as a friend and then we became friends. And I think we're best friends right now, pretty much. So I had Mercedes on all the way from Nigeria. She's our first guest from Nigeria, by the way. So thank you for that, Mercedes. And we had a conversation. We talked about, before we even started the podcast, what I knew was I didn't want us to just rehash her entire story. That was not the point of this episode. But to talk about lessons learned from her perspective, especially. Like I said, she's 42. She lives in Nigeria. And I had never spoken to a divorced person in Nigeria and wanting to know, like, what's the stigma like over there? What's it like when you say I'm divorced? I know what it's like here. And so I wanted to have that conversation and I wanted to know what lessons she's learned. And I wanted to know what advice she would have for people, for women who are not yet married, planning to be, and for women who are already married and feeling like they've entered one chance. So what now? So that's pretty much the conversation we had. And when you listen to her, you see that Mercedes was very open. I could ask her any questions she was willing to share. And those, I love that. Thank you. Thank you so much, Mercedes. So without further ado, let me let you go ahead on and listen to this episode. And please don't forget to leave that review. Thank you, sweet potatoes. Hi, Mercedes. It is so nice to have you on this podcast.
Yeah, thanks.
Okay. So you guys, we're talking today about our marriages, divorce, walking out, lessons learned. All right, let me tell you a little bit about Mercedes. So first of all, when I do these episodes with guests, I tell them to send me a short bio that I can read. And then I add or take away from it. If it's too long, for example, I might cut it down. So with Mercedes, I laughed. I couldn't stop laughing when I read her bio. Let me read this out to you. So at first sight, you might wonder who this Godzilla is, but she's a softie through and through. Not to be taken for granted, though. She's a lady with a deep passion for injustice of any kind, an engineer per excellence. Mercedes Ikutosim Okukogu. Did I say that last name right?
Okukogu.
Okukogu. Okay. She's first of four siblings, 42 years of age and presently single. She's a civil servant as well as a private fighter for women's rights. That part cracked me up. I'm like, I'm supposed to be a public fighter. She's a private fighter for women's rights. Mercedes, it is such a pleasure having you.
It's my pleasure too.
So how did I meet Mercedes? I met Mercedes through Olabisi. Some of you may know her, and I think I mentioned her last episode too. Yes, I did. And actually, I mentioned you too, Mercedes. Oh, last nice. Episode. Yeah, I did. Now that I think I mentioned you and I said you'd be coming on. Oh, nice. And because, you know, last week's episode, I talked about why women stay in, why women endure bad marriages. And the reason I brought you up was because after you shared your story, people were asking why? Why did she stay? Why did she do this? Why did she, you know? Mm-hmm. So that inspired me to write that, because not just your story, but a bunch of people's other stories. So anyway, you guys, so I was telling you, so Mercedes and I were two of the 20 something, I don't even know how many total, but right, I think there are 20 something women who have shared their stories on Olabisi's wall. She has a series going on. The hashtag is divorce, not stigma. So I don't know how hashtags generally work on Facebook, but you can search for it. Hashtag divorce, not stigma. You read these stories from these women and your jaw will be on the floor. Trust and believe. You won't be able to read more than one at a time, maybe, because you read one and it's so crazy. You're like, what did I just read?
Yeah.
Sure. That was my solution. That was my reaction after reading some of these stories. I'm like, what in the hell did I just read? And Mercedes, yours was one of them that I read. And I was like, you're like, wait, what? From the beginning to the end, you're just like, hold on. And then I see you're like a drop dead gorgeous woman. You're really beautiful, right? And so I'm like, what? No, I'm not even trying to make your head swell. The truth, you're drop dead gorgeous. So I'm looking at you like, wow, Mercedes, you too. not that outside beauty has. I mean, I've been in it, so I know. But it's just, you know, you when you read some stories, you think, wow, how could she do that? And I saw your Facebook post where you talked about people ask questioning you, and I just think it's a post where you said you just smile, you know, because people say, oh, I would never do that. Right. That would never be me.
Right.
So you just, can you give the listeners, before we go into, because we don't want to focus on the marriage itself or what went wrong, you know, like the process of leaving the marriage is not what we're focusing on, but can you give us just a brief summary of the things that happened where you're like, that's it, I'm done, I'm out.
Okay. Thank you, Vera, for this opportunity.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure, really. I didn't have to think twice about coming onto this podcast because I felt, oh, it's going to be fun. And of course,
yeah.
I enjoyed speaking with you, at least before now.
Mm-hmm.
You see, first, I always like to say that nobody goes into any kind of relationship whatsoever with the end in mind. Nobody, really. But then inevitable things happen and you just have to take that step. People are different. I am different. Mm-hmm. You are different. The time you decide that I'm done with this is different from when another person is going to, you know, say they are done. And so when I went into this thing, you know, this business, so to speak, I had profit in mind, if you get my point.
Right.
And now you put in all kinds of investments, you put in all kinds of resources, hoping that this profit would, you know, come out at the end of the day. And let's just say you put a timeline of say, I put in these resources in the next 1 year, I am hoping I'll start reaping. Unfortunately, when it gets to even more than 1 year, you are not even seeing anything. All you're seeing is loss. And any right-thinking business person knows that you can't keep running losses.
You
change direction or you change business entirely. And so for me, I got into the marriage business with an expectation, naturally, that is going to be good, that is going to be fun, that is going to be, you know, all kinds of unexpected beauty.
Right.
But unfortunately, it didn't happen that way. And I'm sure just like you saw and others saw from the story I wrote out, I told myself, girl, you can't continue like this now. There's a whole lot of, you know, life to live. Why are you going to waste it dwelling on something you see is not going to work, on business that you see that loss is the ultimate? So I took the walk. Yeah.
How was that in terms of family support? And you're in Nigeria. I forgot to mention that you're in Nigeria. So sometimes, ever since I shared my story in January of this year, a lot of women reach out and ask for advice. Sometimes they're in Nigeria, and I don't know what that's like. At least, you know, I've never experienced what it's like to leave a marriage in Nigeria, to file for divorce and all that. And even here in America, the laws are different state to state. But what was that like for you legally and personally?
Okay. Now, you see, generally in Nigeria, there is always this, no, you can't leave. The name of the family has to be, you know, saved or something of that sort. But I must say that I come from a very unconventional family. Unconventional in the sense that I have a daddy and a mommy who feels, look, if you're not good, let us know and we'll come and ship you out.
That's
Okay.
really nice.
Oh yes, I can't take their support for granted. They were my backbone. They were everything you can think about, you know. You know, it's one thing for you to make up your mind that you're no longer interested in this business, and
Right.
another for you to have the structure to enable you actually carry out that execution of
Right.
believing, you know. So my parents were just everything you can think about. Now, it is not to say that my parents were like, oh, you don't want to do, leave. No.
Right.
Fortunately, or unfortunately, I wouldn't know, they gave my ex the support you can think about, you know. Yes, we had issues. Yes, he would run to them complaining of one thing or the other. And my dad, for instance, would sit down and say, my guy, what's the problem? Okay, don't you think we should do it this way? Don't you think we should do it that way? Don't you think if you do it this way, it's going to bring results and things like that? My father was supportive through and through, not just to me, but to him. So, you know, when you've put in so much and you
Right.
can see that, oh, nothing is going to come out of it. So it wasn't even a problem when I told my dad on the 22nd of April 2017 that, Daddy, I'm done. And he says, whatever you want to do, my daughter, you have my blessings, you know.
Wow.
And it got to me because after I eventually moved out, you could hear my mom say, now I can't sleep well, knowing that my daughter is fine. You know, so I
Wow.
felt really bad that, oh, wow, these people actually went through a lot too, you know. I put
For
them through
you.
so much, yes, you know. And, but it's the past, and I'm glad it's in the past, honestly. I am glad, yes.
Because sometimes, I suppose, when you're going through this, while you bear the most of it, the brunt of it, sometimes you fail to realize how the people that love you are also in it with you,
Oh, yes.
or they're suffering right along with you, even if they can't voice it out to you,
Yeah.
they're also suffering right along with you.
Honestly, yes, it wasn't funny for them. And what really got to me was the fact that they hid the fears, they hid
Right.
they hid everything from me till afterwards. So you can imagine me having to deal with the fact that, oh, I have come out of a marriage that I was hoping was going to be great. And then having to
Right.
deal with the like guilt of, oh,
Right.
my family through this pain, you know. And but well, I'm sure everything they say, well, at the end of the day was for good eventually.
Right. How are you sleeping now at night?
Oh, Vera, I hope you're not going to throw me out of your podcast, but I sleep wonderfully. I'm trying to be very modest here, I must tell you. I must tell you, you know, there's nothing like your peace of mind. There's you can't buy that. You just cannot buy peace of mind. And you know,
No, you really
as
can't.
yes, and as much as peace of mind is free, I must tell you, it's also not easy to get. You know. So it is you that will decide that, no, I need my peace of mind and I'm gonna get it. And so when I got it, hey, I slept good. I've been sleeping well. You know, most times, even when the doctors tell you that you need 7 to 8 hours of sleep, that is not the cocoa. The thing is, do you
Right.
actually sleep
Right.
within that
Right.
specified time?
Right.
Because there are periods during your sleep when it's going to be like you're struggling or you're light or you're deep. So are you really
Right.
sleeping? So I'm not mincing words. I have been sleeping super. I have been sleeping super, and it's so crazy now that it's going to be hard though to find somebody now that will come and take that sleep from me. I will fight. Yes, I'll fight.
Yesterday on this week, or I'm more like by the time they listen to this, it would be more like last week. Okay. The post on my blog was about me saying that I may never marry again.
Yeah, I saw it.
Yeah, I will never marry. And of course, I've gotten the responses of, ah, you will marry in Jesus' name. You must marry in Jesus' name. So I'm like, I understand where people are coming from. I understand. But as a Nigerian woman, as an African woman, what do you think about marriage now? Have your views on marriage changed? Between now and before you got married?
Okay. Now, the beautiful thing about a divorced person that people don't get is that we tend to acquire more knowledge. We tend to be more psychologically balanced because we have been somewhere and then we have crossed over to another place. So we tend to have more like a balanced view about issues. So initially, when you're going through that stress of the wahala in the marriage in the first place, and you're like, when I get out of this, I will never, I'm never going to get married. I'm never going to hook up with any man, you know.
Right.
By the time you've gone through the process and you come out, you find out that this is just you. It's from your standpoint. You cannot take that brush and paint a whole place.
Right.
You make
right.
the whole place.
Right.
Okay. So this is me saying that I know that there are beautiful marriages. At least I've seen a few of them. I know there are beautiful marriages. And so with what I've gone through, it's not enough for me to say, oh, no, marriages are terrible. No. They are beautiful.
Okay.
Okay. It's just that I am not in the population of those that want to be inside again. I don't have issue with anybody getting married. Oh, by all means, if you're going to be flowing greatly with the person, wonderful, go ahead, no issues. Okay. But if you see that it's giving you more headache than it is giving you cool heart and all,
right,
it's best you do the right thing. You know, not me here, you know, in Nigeria here, the right thing. Some people don't really understand what the right thing is. The right thing may be that thing that the society is against at the point.
But that right, actually, right.
You know, help us. But so me, yeah, marriage is beautiful. Marriage is good. But you see this girl here, just like you, I don't think I want to go through that line again. But to love, it's not out of the question. I will love, but you see, marriage, no.
Okay, so hypothetical, is this like a solid mba, or is this like I'd rather not get married, but if I meet this angel from heaven with wings, and he has a notarized form from Jesus where he says, Jesus sent me to you, Mercedes. Mercedes, oh, no, I am your husband. Did you look at it? Jesus wrote it. He signed it. Would you then say, okay, maybe?
Well.
An angel with wings, though.
See, the thing is this. Like I told you, we always have this psychological balance. It means that.
Right.
When I say psychological balance, it means I can today tell you, oh, no, I'm not going to get married. Then tomorrow, I get to see that angel in wings. And I begin to shift a little, you know.
Right.
Oh, it's not so bad. Oh, I could give this a try. Oh, but the truth is right now, from where I'm standing, it's not going to work. So that means whoever is that angel, whoever is that God sent, whoever is that person has a lot of work to do to convince me on why I'm going to go through that road again.
Right.
Do you understand? I'm not going to try to be as difficult as that, no. But this is where my mind is now. It doesn't mean that tomorrow, something can change. It happens. But right now, this is where my mind is. So angel has plenty of work to do.
I completely understand, of course. Like I said, I just wrote that, and that's exactly how I feel, is that right now, I won't say that it's impossible for me to get married, but it's just that the kind of man, I don't know if he exists, basically, is what I was. I don't know if he exists because I want more. The things that were enough for me as of when I got married, the things that I was receiving from my ex-husband that were enough, that I looked at and thought, this is a person I can spend the rest of my life. Those things are no longer enough for me. If somebody were to come and offer me the same thing, barring all the issues that he's had, like somebody's offering me all the good sides of him, not any of the things I didn't like, so not the juju part, not the money part, just the great things I liked about him. If somebody were to come today with the same characteristics, it will not be enough for me anymore. Because I've grown and I've evolved, and I want something else. I want more than what was enough for me before.
Which you have entirely every right to. Every right. You know, yes. Just like I told you, you know, when you're coming from somewhere and going, we're coming from one side and we're entering another, the tendency for our needs, our wants, that thing that we desire is going to, it's going to go up the scale, man. It's going to go up the scale. So that's why you're going to find it. That we are, it will look like we're always clashing with people that are still on one side, so to speak, you know, because they can't seem to understand why are you having this kind of high taste, high standard for me now, you know, that kind of thing. But they won't understand you're coming from somewhere. It's not as if you are against them. No, in their situation, then it's okay, it's wonderful, and we don't begrudge you for it. But please don't begrudge us that have sort of moved to one side and have seen that, no, I need to up my standard. I need to have it all and better and best self, you know? No short changes at all. And so I get you. Well.
As a woman in Nigeria, have you experienced the stigma of divorce? Like, have you met someone, male or female, and after you mentioned your divorce, they look at you some kind of way, or somebody talk to you some kind of way, or expect maybe for you to want less because you're divorced? Have you experienced that?
Okay, just one time. I went to the bank to make some changes in my documents. And one of the staff there goes, okay, madam, you want to make some changes? Yes, I'm divorced. And she looks at me like, you know, 5 milliseconds. And I asked her, is there a problem? She said, no. And she just feels, you know, etiquettes of the job sometimes. Some people don't know their boundaries. But I'm asking her because it depends on the training where they would have gotten. So that she feels, marriage is not easy, but, you know, it can be patient and all that. I said, well, you have the capacity to be more patient than I am. I don't have that capacity, and that is why I am divorced now. Is that okay with you? She said, no, I hope I'm not taking it personal. I said, no, I'm not taking it personal. I'm only putting you in your place.
Right.
I have come here to change a document. Change it for me, no questions. Okay, as long as I've come with all the necessary documents. So I think the few times I've gone there, you know, she had had to, she know that she probably goofed the last time. And because I stood my ground, you know, I didn't go into my shell like you're asking me a divorce.
Right.
Is it a sickness? No, it's not, you know. So the few times I had to come in, you know, it took her a while for her to now open up to relate with me as customer and all that. But I have to tell her, please. I said, look, people are different. Everybody have chosen their step or their path in life. We can't all have the same path, okay? And so you shouldn't question anybody's path. Besides, you don't have enough time for you to concentrate on your path, much more looking into somebody else's path, you know? So, maybe because, you know, in the beginning when you made a description, you know, first impression that people have about me, you know, I come like this giant Godzilla kind of. So
how tall are you?
I am 6 feet.
Oh, Godzilla
for real. it's always difficult for them to, you can't oppress me. Yeah, I
Right.
sing my song the way I want it, and you just have to listen to me if you don't like it. So I think I have that advantage, so to speak. So I'm not scared to tell you I'm divorced. I mean,
Right.
it is my status. What am I hiding if, after all, when they are giving list of status, divorce is inside. And so that's the one I have. So there's no issue.
Wow. Yeah, I had to ask because I know how divorce carries a stigma among Africans in general, where
Yeah.
it's like, oh, especially to be clear, for the women, it doesn't seem to have the same effect for men. You know, a man can be divorced 5 times, he can have 10 baby mamas.
And
It's
you'll be
just not the
hailing
same.
you.
Don't be hailing more dogu. But then you have one woman who has been divorced, and we're not even going into the reason for the divorce, because for some women, for some women, their lives were literally in danger. You know, like
Sure.
it's from crazy things like that, and it doesn't matter. It's still like, still, you could have been patient. One time, I wrote a post on my blog about women. This was recently, walking away from their marriage when it becomes physically abusive. And the reason why I wrote that was because, and I don't know if you read, due to COVID-19 and the stay-at-home order, there's an increase up to 60% here in America of domestic violence.
True.
So I wrote about that, and it makes sense that it's happening because not every husband and wife, they don't, some of them don't like each other. You know, they might be married, but they don't like each other.
They're just
And so you
roommates.
put them in a house, right, 24/7. Yeah, that will cause a lot of problems. But I wrote it, and it automatically got shared to my Facebook page, not my regular profile page, but my like page. And I got so many comments on it that honestly, some of it triggered me and aggravated me, and I had to control myself to not respond how I wanted to. Like somebody who said, "You know, these men are like boys. They don't know what you're doing.
Really?
When your husband is beating you," she said, "you hold him, you kneel down, you beg him,
Wonderful.
and next time he will not do it again."
Is you
Yes, which I thought was a crazy solution to. Why isn't the solution just let him not beat you at all? Why can that not be a solution? But I think the way that we're brought up in Nigeria, generally, I don't mean that every mom tells their daughter to stay there and let the husband beat you, but just generally, culturally, the way we're brought up in Nigeria and probably Africa as a whole is, women, we have sharp tongues. We make men do these things they don't want to do. The Nigerian church I used to go here, attend here in America, the pastor once said that when your husband is not mad, how will he come home and just start beating you? Basically, you must have done something for him to beat you, right? And so that's the general way that people feel. I don't know, did you experience physical abuse in your marriage before you walked?
The only time he got to lay his hand on me was the day I was moving out. And I would say he was shocked at my moving out. So, anybody that is shocked will do and undo. Fortunately, there were security operatives around to ensure that it didn't go beyond what he intended. So generally, no, I did not. I didn't have any physical abuse in the course of the marriage. But what I had was emotional, plenty emotional abuse.
And financial.
Let's leave financial abuse. But I don't know. We have to give it a bigger name. Financial abuse sounds very sweet. We need to look for a
Yeah, I
bigger
think
name.
that you need to. I think that for those who are listening that don't know who Mercedes is, have not read your story, because your story on Facebook just kept on giving. It was like every other day you open Facebook, Mercedes, and like, oh, again, what did Mercedes do again? So, for those who are listening who don't have any idea what you went through, I told my friend Fumi about one part of your story. I told her the part of when you guys went to the doctor and the doctor was asking your husband or your ex-husband now why he wasn't sleeping with you, and he said he didn't know your PIN number.
Yeah.
And for me, I was like, I don't understand. He doesn't know what. That's like, he doesn't know her PIN number. And she was so confused, like, how? I said, well, Mercedes did not share her PIN number, so that was affecting him. So for those... So just tell us a little bit of these financial things, because I want to ask you a question related to money in marriage.
Now, you see, when I met my ex at the time, he was out of job, okay? And, of course, when you're out of job, you're out of funds. Now, in the way I see relationship, I mean, if two people are supposed to be in a relationship, two people are supposed to be supporting each other, you know, regardless of who has what. That has always been my line of thought, you know? So... And of course, I mean, I thought that he doesn't have a job today doesn't mean he's not going to have a job tomorrow. So, you know, this kicking of your supportive babe comes in.
Right, right.
Oh, well. And so then on got, I mean, I didn't mind doing anything for him. But unfortunately, I think he took advantage of that. You know,
it became. You think?
How do I even put it? Let me. He took advantage of it. It got to a point that he tells me, I need to do this contract. I need so thousands to go do the contract. Okay. Yes, you need to do a contract. Can I understand? Can I see documents relating to whatever contract you're talking about? Because I can't just be dishing out money. I need to understand what you're doing. I need to look at the risk. You know, involved in whatever things you want to do, so that I can also be comfortable in whatever I'm going to be giving out. You know, so Mr. Man now will refuse. Instead, he begins to holler me on how I do not believe in him, on how he is the man and he knows what's good for the family. I say I have never doubted that too, but I'm as working as a team now. But is there a crime in the questions I'm asking? Because it's just like if you go to the bank to request for a loan, I mean, you're going to go through a long process.
Right.
So what's wrong with this, you know? So that resentment started building up from his side. And for him, he feels, I have this bank of money somewhere that if he requests for, he should get it. You know, let me tell you one very funny incident that happened one time I was going to work. I dressed up, ready to go to work, and here was my dear husband sitting in the parlor. And he goes, I don't know how you feel going to work and your husband is just sitting here. And I'm like, okay, sorry, what am I supposed to do actually? That I'm supposed to go to the bank, get a loan, and give him. I'm like, I see. Okay, that's what I'm supposed to do, Abby. I wasn't really in the mood to talk that day, but I just went to the office because the home was already becoming unpleasant for me.
Right.
And then I get to the office and all manner of text messages is sent to me by him on how I am so inconsiderate, blah, blah, blah. This is somebody I have sold my jewelries all and given the money to go and do 3, 4, 5 contracts that have never yielded results. Right. You get. And then out of the blues, you still want me to go to the bank to go loan money for you. Come on. I mean, it got to a point when he was talking. I said, Oga, Shay, it's you that need this money now. Shay, you can go to the bank. Present yourself. Present your collateral.
Right.
And collect the money.
Right.
You know? So, of course, all that. You know, there are things I really don't want to remember. But then... those were crazy times. So in essence, for me, the aim of him meeting me in the first place was because he felt, this is like more like a cash cow. So let me see what I'm going to dig from it. Unfortunately, his plans weren't the way he mapped them out. And so he started becoming, you know, aggressive. When I mean aggressive now, you won't sleep with me until you've laid down the things you want to do. So in essence, if I only get laid, I have to pay for it.
So you were patronizing Basically, exactly. Like patronizing a shower in your house.
A shower in my own house. Yes, exactly.
So before you get any, you do your payments.
Oh yes. Maybe I want to do now.
Did you at least get bonuses, like Christmas bonus or something? If you're going to be paying for it.
You know, when I'm saying about these resources you put into an investment that does not yield result, I suffered.
Right.
I wish I was getting them, but I didn't get it, no.
So I have a question. Yeah. Because for your story, there were several instances of you giving him money. And I know just from my own experience that what you wrote for us isn't everything that happened. It's impossible to write everything that happened, right? So you just write some of the things that you remember. Mm. And so, but a lot of your instances had to do with money. So clearly he was definitely sucking you dry. So my question is, first of all, what was the breaking point for you?
Well, you see, when you keep putting your best, even though someone else is going to be seeing it like you're not doing anything, when you keep putting in your best and they keep slapping you in the face, not literally slapping you, you know, that you're not doing anything, you keep enduring. There's something they say in Igbo, it's not the day you throw the oil that they'll beat you. It's the day you probably throw the shaft, you know? So now, over the few years I stayed with him, most of our quarrels have been based on money. If he's not going to take money from someone out there and not let me know, I have to have people come barrage me to say, oh,
right,
I took some money and I'm not aware and I'm looking stupid, you know, that kind of stuff. Or we plan to buy a particular item and I feel, oh, as the man of the house now, go and get it now so that, you know, you massage the ego, kind of. You give them the money. Phew.
And so you give them money.
You know? So, because I was, initially when he was doing all these things, I was overlooking it. And it got to a point, I said, no, I can't be overlooking this thing. I'm going to go bankrupt. Or one day, yes, carry me, kind of, you know? I said, I'm not going to be doing this anymore. So he begins to vent his frustrations on me. And not only is he venting his frustration, when I said I was done was at my birthday in 2017, he made out one very wonderful post, you know, in essence.
I heard about this post, but I never got to see it.
Long and short of it, I'm not respecting him because he doesn't have money. And
That was your birthday post.
Yes, that was a beautiful birthday post. And and more like I am allowing the money, according to him, get into my head.
Wow.
I told myself that day, girl, enough is enough. You know. In his mind, I'm just assuming this is what would be in his mind. If he puts that out, I may have to now reverse the way regarding the money. Unfortunately, that was a turning point for me. And I said, no, this is not going to happen anymore. Enough is enough.
So it seems like in your case, it was definitely not the day he threw the oil, but the day he threw the shaft. Because it was like he has done bigger things. You didn't leave him for that. Exactly. The way he did this, you're like, you know what? That's it. I'm out. Mm-hmm. And I have a similar experience because for me, I remember in August of 2017, that was the first day that my ex-husband put his hands on me, but I didn't leave. I didn't even call the police. That was in August. Mm. Now, in November of the same year, a day before Thanksgiving Day, I don't remember now what we're talking about, but it was becoming an argument. And he said to me that I should leave his presence. And he was sitting on the couch and I was standing. And I remember looking down on him thinking, did he just say that I should leave his presence? Because I'm thinking, like, who are you talking to? Wait. It was almost like a thing clicked in my head that, wait one damn minute. Who are you talking? That's Vera. I should leave your presence. You begged me to come here. So I think on that day, it was a little thing, you know, it was a little thing. But that Thanksgiving day, I said, okay, I'm done, a day before Thanksgiving. And I went in the room, I locked the door, I called my aunt, I said, my marriage is over. That was the first time I ever anybody knew, unlike your case where he was reporting to your parents. So in my case, nobody knew anything was going on. As far as everybody was concerned, I was just as happy as could be.
It's always
but
like
that day, yeah, that day when he told me to leave his presence, that was when I went and I called my aunt and I told her, it's over, I'm done. And I called the necessary people, close friends, and I told them, I'm done, it's over. But so for me, it was definitely the straw that broke, because he had done things, way bigger things I could have left him for. But just that day of telling me, I just felt like the only reason you can shift this mouth of yours and say this to me is because I've been here and I've been taking this shit and taking it, and you think that I don't have options, or you think that I can't walk away, or you, like, I know I can. I may not know the whole process of divorce, but I don't have to take this. So that day was the day that I said, okay, you know what? That's it. I'm done. So now, money, to ask you questions about money. What do you think, or how do you think a couple should actually work around money? Because before I got married, I remember reading that money was one of the top reasons of divorce. And I remember thinking to myself, the only reason people will fight about money is maybe somebody doesn't want to share their money. Of course, I was very naive, right? After I got married and I had some financial problems too, not too, as bad as yours, because he did have a job most of the time, but in the sense that he was just squandering more than he needed to, you know, spending it, you know, squandering it, saying spending and not quite, you know, squandering the money. You know, like if you make $1 million a year and you spend $1 million a year, you'll be broke. It wouldn't matter how much you made if you've spent everything. So that was my own thing. But it was only after I got married that I realized, oh, okay, I see how money can be a problem in marriage. Because for me, it wasn't that I wasn't sharing with him. It wasn't that he wasn't sharing. It was just mismanagement. So knowing what you know now, say if ever this angel from heaven with wings were to show up and convince you that, Mercedes, I am the man for you, and you get married, what would you do differently, basically, financially?
Okay, first off, that angel must have loads of money in the bank.
I knew that was the first thing you'd say. That's why I'm laughing.
That angel must have loads of money in the bank. You know, but on a serious note, really, first off, when you're going into this business of marriage, like I've started shouting it now. Maybe I wasn't shouting enough. First, I am not the there is a senior and then there's a junior in the marriage. I am not for that. That is where problem comes. You find out that even if the junior has 1 million, she won't bring anything because senior is supposed to be suffering. So I am not for that. Okay. See, I am for teamwork. If at the end of the year or the month or the week, depending on how your wages come in, and looking at the things you get in the house or the requirements that are needed for running the home. Maybe you guys sit down at the beginning of the year and plan out the major things you want to do. And of course, the minor things that you want to do. And you have a pool, you know, where you put in these resources for both the major and the minor, you know. And
okay.
Whether we like it or not, there will be somebody who is more accountable than the other. You can't both be the same. It's not possible, you know. There will always be that person that you know is prudent. Not that they are trying to bring you down. The fact that one is prudent doesn't mean the other person doesn't have where he or she is, you know, high up.
Right.
You know.
Right.
So if you come with an open mind into this business of marriage and know that you're working as a team for the good of your family for a very long period of time, I don't think you're having all these issues you keep hearing. You know, one of the issues I was having with my ex was, when I bring the money, I'm not supposed to ask questions how it is spent. How, Juan? I mean, it's not possible.
Right.
You know, this yes, it's money worked for. Even if I were doing prostitute work, I mean, the area of use of work has suffered now. So I should be able to, you know, that kind of stuff. So even right. for the man himself, let's even turn the table around. Let it be that it was even Henry bringing money. And I wasn't giving account to it. This guy goes out there, suffers, goes under the sun, does all kinds of jobs, legal right. jobs, and brings money. And I squander it. Would he be happy? He definitely won't be happy.
Of course not.
And so the thing is, if couples understand that, Shebi, it is, they used to say two become one. So which right. one is that up and that down? I'm not buying it. So both of us sit on the table. We work out these things together, and we know that, oh, somebody is going to say, oh, okay, this is what we are doing, or this is how much we have right. to do. This, I mean, once there is that synergy, I don't think right. we would have all these issues we keep hearing left, right, and center, honestly.
Yeah, my pastor always says that in marriage, that the couple needs to know who has the strength in what area, sure. you know, and an example is the finances. And I think he said, I don't remember if he said it was him or his wife who has the strength, but it makes sense. If one person is stronger in finances, then let that person take care of it. Let that person be in charge of, here's what we're doing, here's what we're not doing. You know, like not in a way of saying I'm the boss of you, exactly. but just like you said, it's a partnership. Mm-hmm. So everything you're doing here is for the good of you both and the entire family at the end of the day. Yeah. Okay. So now you're in Nigeria, and I know that there'll be a lot of young ladies listening to this podcast, a lot of women who are not even married yet. What advice would you have for them? They say, hey, you know, Mercedes, I about to get married. What advice do you have for them?
First off,
as they go into this journey?
First off, what are you doing?
As the what do you mean, like financially?
Yes, what are you doing to earn an income?
Okay.
Because the truth about the matter, no matter how much a man is crazy about you, once you're a liability, it begins to form some sort of resentment, no matter how long he wants to pretend that he's taking care of you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm sorry, I'm going to have to say this now, because it has come to a point that when you are going into marriage, you begin to prepare for divorce. Just like when we get a job today, they tell us to prepare for retirement. Okay?
Right.
Prepare for unforeseen circumstances. And just like I've always said, nobody plans on going into this business to jump out. But with the situation we have around now, you prepare yourself. Now, how do you prepare yourself? Get a job doing, have an income. And you know the funny thing? The truth is, even when you have this income and your partner has income, wallahi, you won't be having plenty issues as such. I'm not saying there are rich people that have their issues. Yes, no doubt.
Of course.
But you will find out that when everybody is contributing to the table, is bringing something to the pool, not just finances, be able to speak out when you feel bad about a situation. This one too feels bad when there's about a situation, and you are both able to meet each other at a 50-50 level or whatever middle you guys can. I am sure these issues will reduce, because really, getting married is not no issue. Now, is it people will come and dance for you, daddy, and leave you? The marriage is where the challenges are. So you prepare yourself before this marriage. Look out for red, black, purple, green flags. Plenty. Because the truth is, it is not dole that everybody must get married.
Right.
The problem I have seen, and that includes me, faithfully talking to you, you will see a red flag and say, oh, this thing, he will change.
What red flags did you ignore?
Well, I mean, somebody wasn't prudent.
Right.
Somebody was spending money and giving excuses that they didn't have reasons or didn't make sense. but I overlooked it, like, oh, okay, it'll be all right. And, you know, just like I wrote in during the no divorce series stuff, the day I would have called off everything was a traditional wedding day. I should have called it off. But, you know, we're saying...
Why should you have called it off?
I mean, you were given funds to prepare for a traditional wedding. Not just were you not only giving funds, you were giving extra in case of...
Right, you gave him the money for... Which traditionally he should have provided.
Naturally. But because I was working, I was assuming I was working as a team with someone. Okay?
Right.
Okay. And then on the day, not everything that was supposedly paid for was there.
Right.
And you're not even giving me, when I called you to find out what happened, you started speaking how Germany entered Israel and came out of Israel. I'm wondering, where is this coming from? You know? And truly, 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 I keep saying, you know, there are some things that when they happen to you in life, you'd be like, you wish you took this decision at that time. But again, I don't beat myself much. I'm happy I got the experience. So that you can say, in as much as I really don't care what people say anyways, but it wouldn't be said that, oh, you didn't even try. You just, you get. But again, I don't want people to just go and be doing trial and error. Once you just see those flags, move.
Right.
Because the truth is, a leopard never changes its spots.
Mm-hmm.
They may wear a cloak over it, but they never change their spots.
So the problems you have while you're dating or courting, you most likely experience in marriage.
Oh, naturally, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Naturally, yes. Okay. Naturally.
Okay, so that was your advice. For the woman getting married, have something. Have a
something
job. Have
an income. Of course, the man too must have something to do, you know. God, love does not buy things anymore.
No, it does not. It really doesn't. Okay, so for the woman, anything else in terms of an advice for a woman who's getting married now?
Now, secondly, you mustn't even get married.
Okay.
You mustn't get married. It's not by cost. Yes. There are a whole lot of things one can do with their lives. I know some people are going to skin me alive for this, but it is what it is. It is because of you marry, you find everybody jump into that business and tomorrow everybody's jumping out. There are a whole lot, there are careers to be built, there are businesses to create, there are children in orphanage homes that can be adopted, if it's to say that children you are looking for. You can actually also take in yourself, give birth to children, and take care of them. But it's just that because of where we come from, hey, abomination. How can she say this kind of thing? Natural. That's what it is. That is the reality on ground. You get. So prepare yourself. Prepare before. See, the truth is that you have a success of a project is dependent on the planning preparations. Once you don't plan, you don't prepare yourself, you probably don't go to school or you don't go to get a skill that will help you gain a living, that will help you earn an income, that will make you stand on your own with or without anybody. You're already deciding whether you're going to be successful or a failure in that marriage you want to go to, you want to even go into the marriage. So one, prepare yourself. Two, you mustn't get married. You mustn't. I'm repeating it for those that want to kill me here. You mustn't. But that's the truth about it. And if you must, prepare properly going in there. And even while you're preparing, look out for all the crazy flags.
Right.
Because I keep repeating, a leopard is not going to change its spots. Not now, not ever. It will only wear a cloak over it.
Okay. So let's say this advice is for the woman who hasn't gotten married. What about the one who's already entered? Then what?
No.
She's entered and she's discovered all these red flags that, wow, they were not orange. They were actually bright red. And everything that was bad has gotten worse. What next?
Good. Are you ready to become a martyr? Or you want to live your life? You make the choice. The choice is yours. My own is only to say something. How can you be going through hell and decide to want to remain in that hell? I think the person, whether man or woman, has a psychological problem. There is always life after something. It could be life after birth. It could be life after school. It could be life after marriage. It could be life after anything. And the only person I recognize who died for us, well, maybe because I'm a Christian, an apologist to other religion and all that, is Jesus, okay? But I am not Jesus. I'm not expecting every other person to be Jesus. So when you're going through, you can't be staying in a place that is burning and you say some sort of cover will cover you. Your skin will get burnt. So if you're in a marriage and it's terrible, it's affecting you psychologically, it's affecting you in all kinds of ramifications, please get the hell out. I can't paint it in any way. And most people don't even like hearing these kind of things. But get out. And the truth is, if we consistently persist on these advices, you find that everybody will sit upright. But if we keep painting, no harm, be patient, endure, is this, everybody will keep messing up because they know that there's something covering them.
Right.
So if you are in that marriage and for heaven's sake, you are not happy, you are suffering, you're literally going crazy. What are you doing there? Leave. You're not a tree. You're not planted there. Move.
I say the same exact thing, Mercedes. I say the same damn thing. I'm like, you feel stuck. You're not stuck. You're not a tree. You can move.
Move.
Trees cannot move. You can. I'm like, what do you mean?
Yeah, and that's why I say, if you plan, for instance, you get a skilled job or you go to school or whatever, and it's earning you an income, we won't be discussing whether you will leave or not, though, because you know you can stand on your own.
Right.
What usually happens to some of these women is because they literally depend on their partners.
Right.
So even when they see a situation where they have to leave, they can't leave because, where do I go to? Who do I meet? What do I eat? How do I survive? You know? So it becomes a problem. You're now stuck with that person. And of course, because that person has an upper hand over you, he's going to do and undo, and there's nothing you can do about it. That's why you hear women just die off and we wonder how. As matters that married. No. So everything has a domino effect. Once you prepare yourself before the marriage, fortunately, the person that you are probably getting married to is a very good pretender and hides all the green or yellow or orange flags.
Right.
And now exposes all those flags while you are in the business. But because you are prepared and ready to damn the consequences, knowing that there's life afterwards, move. They won't even need to tell you. You move.
You're like, hold on, you don't need to tell me twice. Would you, I don't know how it works in Nigeria, but here now, would you consider having a prenuptial agreement if you were to remarry? Well, I don't know how necessary it is in Nigeria, but like here, let me use Maryland. I live in the state of Maryland, and in Maryland is a 50-50 state. So as I was getting divorced, for example, my ex and I were entitled to 50% of whatever asset we acquired while married.
So if I owned a house that I bought before I got married, he won't be entitled to it. But if, say, we bought a house, we own properties or anything like that, a savings account, even if it was just my name on it, he would have been entitled to half of it. I would have been entitled to half of his, and he would have been entitled to half of mine. So if you were in a state like that and you were to remarry, would you advise somebody gets a prenuptial agreement? Because when we hear prenuptial agreement, we think it's for super rich people, people that have, you know, but perhaps a prenuptial agreement to say that, hey, when we get married, we walk out with whatever asset I acquire in this marriage, I walk out with it. Whatever asset you acquire, you walk out. Like, basically, what would you think about a prenuptial agreement?
First off, I am super glad this is not Maryland, because I would have been crying blood by now.
You would have. Yes, because the other person would have had nothing to give you, right?
He would have had
nothing, because he has no assets. He would have gladly taken.
And he would have taken half of what he didn't do. So, and that's why I said, whoever that angel is going to come and meet me must have loads of money somewhere. And so that when we are doing the prenuptial agreement, we will not be quarreling.
That makes perfect sense.
But but the thing is, prenuptial agreements has its advantage and disadvantage. I am, no matter how life has dealt with me, I am someone who wants to do a forever thing, really, you know. And when you have a prenuptial agreement, it sort of puts that there's a timeline someday, you know, that something is going to happen, you know. So, but again, it is also good. It is there too, in case it happens. It's all part of the plan.
Adam,
that we are not perfect beings. Knowing that we are not perfect beings, it's also good it happens that way, so that if come become come, everybody go with happy. So again, it all boils down to planning. Me,
right? I was going to ask you, because you were.
Me now, if I am going to meet with anybody, first off, you will have in the bank. Well. And then, yes, we'll do a prenuptial agreement so that we know that we'll be free. Nobody is going to be losing anything at the end of the day, so to speak. Whatever happens, we are planning, because this life is you never can tell what happens.
Right.
So yes, I will do it. I will plan, whoever I'm going to be with will at least have something that I will get half from now, when at the end of the day something happens. Abby?
Right. Yeah, because they'll have to have something. You can't get half of nothing. If they have nothing, then what do you get half of? So I have another question for you, because I've heard this a lot. People say that back in the day, our moms, our grandmoms, their marriages lasted longer because women were more patient. So, agree or disagree?
I disagree totally.
Okay.
Our moms at the time were swallowing the shit. Excuse my language. They were swallowing it, everything, hook, line, and sinker.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, then again, it was seen as a taboo for a woman to even speak up.
Right.
Say the things that affected her negatively.
Right.
The truth is, the same things that were happening during our parents' or our mother's time is still the same thing happening now. The only difference
is that
we have women speaking up.
Women
saying, no, I deserve to be treated properly. And that is just the difference. There is all that trying to tell us our mothers were more patient, you know, trying to con us into...
Right.
You know, what they are trying to tell you is that, look, if I mess up, just keep quiet.
That's literally right. what I'm saying. And
right.
shouldn't be. And there is, look, if you touch a woman, an old woman or a mother, you know, in our generation who stayed, she will tell you the things she went through. And
right.
most of them are not happy. What is even giving them joy is, okay, their children that they are seeing.
Right, right.
At the end of the day, these children are going to live their own lives. And you are left with that same person whom you have built resentment for over the years. So tell me, that's why you find our mothers that time can go for a mugo for 1 year and they won't come back.
I was about to say that right now, that some women escape their husbands with a mugo.
Yeah. I'll go for more than 1 year, or I want to go and see my daughter and not come back for as long as they can be away from that man. So the thing is, the same thing that was happening there is happening now. The only difference is we have people speaking up now. That's just our mothers were not patient anything. They were just swallowing everything, hook, line, and sinker.
I've said the same thing too. I'm like, they didn't have a choice, or they didn't know they had choices.
Yeah.
That I've never met a woman who has had a bad marriage, and at the end of her life, she's like, I'm so glad I stayed. I've never mm-hmm. met someone who mm-hmm. said that.
Mm-hmm.
I usually don't say, I wish I had left. I wish I had done things. I've never met anyone who said, man, all the beating I chopped from my husband, all the insults, I'm so glad I took it. You know, I've never met a woman who has felt that way.
That's why you hear stories of men are babies when they do this.
Yes.
You are. If I were the man, I'll be feeling insulted. With all my you are calling me, I'm meaning my head is not functioning properly.
Right.
No.
Right.
It's not.
And it's funny because men agree to this narrative. You know, oh, men, they're just babies. But then they are, at the same time, they want to be the man of the house.
Oh yeah,
because you can't be both a narrative. Baby and the man of the house. Pick mm-hmm. one.
Exactly.
You want to be a baby, or you want it? Because if you go and be a baby, we treat you like a baby.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't get to decide. You don't get to be the man of the house and be the baby also.
It doesn't work now. You can't eat your cake and have it. So
right.
What's the best bet? Right. Will be a team. Once you're a team, man, you can go places.
You'll be unstoppable.
Oh, yes. The only person that can work is someone who carries his ego around.
Right.
Nothing is going to work for that person, truly.
A house divided cannot stand.
At all.
Okay. Well, so now, are you dating? Or are you open to dating?
All right. I like that second question, that second phrase. I am open to dating, but I'm doing what I would refer to as, let me give it a name, unconventional relationship. Now,
okay.
It is my own definition, it's my own coined word, even though that word exists.
Mm-hmm.
I have a boyfriend or a man friend, because I'm way older now. I have a man and we share ideas, we laugh together, we make love and all, but then everybody goes their own way to go and do their thing. Nobody's calling me mm-hmm. to ask me, why didn't you call me? Or where were you? Or what happened? No. Okay. We all mm-hmm. run separate lives, and we have a meeting time where we meet to kind of say how probably our month was, or how mm-hmm. the past weeks were and all that. Have the fun that we can have, and then you go back to your activities, you know, and
mm-hmm.
it favors me. And now, for me, distant relationship is what will favor this, my idea of unconventional relationship, yes, because I really don't want anybody bugging my life right now.
Right.
I just want to enjoy every bit of life that I've got left, okay, and I don't want it bogged down with another form of commitment, you know.
Right.
Saying, I can't receive guests in my house because one man is asking me who is that person. Yeah, no, matter finished. I don't want that, you know. So, So that's the kind of thing I find myself enjoy doing, really.
I completely get you. Mm-hmm. I can relate. Two years ago when I had this guy who said he was interested in me and always wanted to have dinner every weekend. Man, that was brutal for me. Because I said, who has this kind of time? I'm like, I would say, but we just had dinner last weekend now. He said, oh yeah, I want to see you again. I'm just like, no, give me time. I just saw you last weekend. And my friends always found it funny, but that's, I was just like, I can't even commit to dinner every weekend. Mm-hmm. That's a lot for me. Mm-hmm. Let's see once in a while and we can have dinner and don't call me every day or every mm-hmm. night. That's a lot. I can't commit to that either. So I completely see where you're coming from, especially as one who's divorced. Because you made a very important point where you said we have some kind of balance. Yeah. We who are going from one side to the other. Because mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't have the same curiosity I did before about marriage. Mm-hmm. Where before, you know, as a kid or growing up, you dream about your Prince Charming, mm-hmm. you guys fall in love, you live happily ever after. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that dream, mm-hmm. by the way. But for me, I'm like, I've already done that. Mm-hmm. I've already done the marriage thing and now I'm out. And I don't hate marriage. I still think it's great. I mm-hmm. think it's the greatest mm-hmm. union. I can't think of something bigger. But I'm not at the point right now where I'm aspiring to it again.
True.
If this mystical angel with wings shows up, maybe, I don't know. We'll see how much of an angel he is. But for now, I do not aspire to marriage. I don't know. When I picture my life now as a missus, it feels more like a burden. But maybe, you know, but perhaps it's just because of my past experience. Yeah, I'm like, I true. Don't mm-hmm. want to, I don't feel like dealing with this again. Because right now, I know it's me, you know, I know, okay, I make this amount of money, I budget this amount, I know, okay, I'm going to do, if my child is the one who's messing up my schedule, for example, mm-hmm. like if I plan on going out at 10 in the morning and because of my kid, I don't go out till 12, it's okay, I'm fine. That's fine. I'm okay with that inconvenience. But if it's like a husband, I just can't right now. Mm-hmm. I can't deal. So I completely get where you're coming from. It's been such a pleasure speaking to you, Mercedes. And we touched on a lot of things here, both the advice for young people, somebody who's already in it, and especially for you in Nigeria. Because I get a lot of questions from women in Nigeria, and I don't have a lot of answers because of laws and all that, which I don't know how they work in Nigeria. But if somebody is listening to this and they feel like, this Mercedes, she has oil in her brain, I need to ask her some more questions. How would they find you?
Okay, I have my Facebook page.
Okay.
Yeah, Mercedes Ekutosun Teresa Okukogun, and then my regular Facebook page as well, Mercedes Okukogun. You can always
So you have a like page?
Yes, I have a like page.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes.
Okay. Like what's the link to that?
Mercedes Ekutosun. Once you just type Mercedes Ekutosun Okukogun, you get there. You see two Mercedeses.
Okay, yeah. I will find that and I will put that link for you guys in the show notes so that you can find it. And okay, any other way?
Then on the page, I have a number. You can reach me. I usually don't pick calls because some of them can be very funny. But once you send me a text of whatever is the issue, whatever it is, whatever questions, I always, always read all my messages. But the ones that are high angle and cool, I don't answer them. I ignore
them. Right.
Yes. But
hi, Angel.
Yeah, yeah. So once I see a reasonable question, I definitely call the person back. That's for sure.
Okay. So I will find that number. I will put it in the show notes so that if you want to reach out to Mercedes, if you have questions for her, you just like her and you want to connect, it's all going to be in the show notes. And Mercedes, is there a question I didn't ask you, but you'd like to answer anyway?
Nothing really. I'll always encourage everybody to live their own truth. Do not put yourself in the midst of so many truths. What I mean by so many truths is Vera has her ideology. Mercedes has her ideology. Cynthia has her ideology, and so forth. And then you, Gertrude, comes and you want to fix yourself in the midst of these three ideologies. You're going to get confused.
Right.
So what I'm saying in essence, be your own person. Be your own unique person. You don't have to take what, for instance, I have said today, because everything I have said today is pertaining to how I see life. And that's because I've come through a lot of rivers or a lot of water under the bridge and all that. So you mustn't take everything I have said to you. You can pick out the ones that are you feel it's okay for you and then dump the others. It's beautiful. But the important thing is that you have your own self. You are your own unique self. You know what's going to work for you. And believe me, once you have that, it's going to be easy to make decisions, even without coming to say, hide my ID. What do I do?
That right.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, we see a lot of those.
Yes.
The anonymous messages, the hide my name and ask your followers. Okay. All right. Mercedes, I thank you so much for spending your evening with us. Actually, your night. Because it's quite late for you over there.
It's all right.
I really, really appreciate it. Thank you so much. And we'll have to have you back sometime in the future.
I'm always here. God willing.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Maybe we'll have something else to talk about in the future. Right. So it's been an absolute pleasure having you. Thank you.
My pleasure too.
The I Am African podcast is powered by Verastic. Thank you for letting me be in your ears today. If you have not yet, please subscribe, review, and share this podcast. Do you know any remarkable Africans who should be on the show? People who have compelling stories, or maybe you just have a show idea? Please send any show and guest suggestions to iamafrican@verastic.com. That's iamafrican@verastic.com. Follow I Am African Podcast on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And you can find me too at Verastic on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Once again, I am your host, Vera Ezimora. Thank you for listening, and I'll talk to you next week.